The legendary American journalist Bob Woodward, joined this time by Robert Costa, another fine journalist, has completed the third of his trilogy of books reporting on the Trump presidency. We've had rage, we've had fear, and now we're looking at peril. Bob Woodward, good morning, and let me begin by asking about the peril that you talk about. Is it the danger of the re-election of Donald Trump? Is it the threat to the US democratic system, or even what the book opens with, the threat of a possible coup d'etat in the United States?
Well, it's many dangers. The first, there's the element of surprise. When Robert Costa and I worked on this, we discovered that there was a national security crisis which was concealed and not known, that there was profound worry that China thought the United States was going to attack them. And, of course, that's the worst kind of hair trigger environment where tensions with China are so great already. And so before the election, General Milley, who was chairman of the Joint Chiefs, number one military man in the United States, called the his equivalent in China, General Li, and said, "No, we're not going to attack you. Calm down. This is, they have a 5-year relationship," and he played on that, and he was couldn't have been more worried. And as we know in the history of war, miscommunication is the seed of conflict. And then 2 days after the insurrection in the United States at the Capitol, a monumental event, an attack on the seat of government, trying to keep Biden from being pronounced president. 2 days after that, the Chinese thought the United States might collapse, and they went on military alert. The Iranians did the same, the Russians. So that's historic peril, and then the peril continues that Trump, who really tried to overturn the election and continues with that theme of the stolen election, he's so popular among Republicans that he may get the nomination for 2024, and some polling shows that he could win.
The episodes, as outlined by you there, Bob, and indeed in your book, really serve to illustrate the fragility of democracy in America, I suppose, in some ways. And I think that when you read your book, you really get a sense that what reading the newspapers or online really wasn't enough, because we didn't get, in some ways, half the story. The threat to democracy, the state of the union, and the state of diplomatic affairs and relations was on a razor edge.
Yes, exactly, on a razor edge. And democracy works, as you know, but it is fragile. And particularly when you have a sitting president like Trump, who was just raging against China, where he was before the election last year that he lost, he said if he lost, it would be stolen. And now he's playing that theme very, very hard. Mm. And if you have a sitting president who cannot accept what happened at the ballot box, and we were able to dig into that and discover documents that Trump, some of his really big supporters, investigated his claim that this was a stolen election and found zero to support it. But he continues with that, and there, according to polling, tens of millions of people in this country who believe him and accept that.
There are nerving exchanges throughout the book of President Trump, then President Trump, and his close aides. And, you know, close to the beginning, you talk about the Speaker Nancy Pelosi talking to Milley, General Milley. And really, the topic conversation that keeps coming up is the mental stability of the president. And that's where it comes, it gets into the realms of almost science fiction. It seems so surreal. You looked at the man in the eye. You spoke to him for all these books in the last 4 years. And, you know, is it overstating the case to suggest that Donald Trump has mental stability issues? Or is that just a neat line for Democratic voters?
Well, General Milley and Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, second in line for the presidency, somebody who knows the whole procedures for using nuclear weapons and launching some sort of military action. She, in this call, we have a transcript with Milley. She calls him and says, what guarantees are there that President Trump will not use nuclear weapons? I need guarantees. And Milley says, oh, no, our procedures are sound. And then he realizes very, very clearly that the procedures could be circumvented by a president who's in mental decline, which Milley concluded was the case. And all of those scenes that we have in the book of Trump just raging in the Oval Office, screaming at people, irrational, not stable. And so Milley invokes the procedures with the war room officers in the Pentagon and says, we've got to make sure that I, General Milley, number one military man, that I'm at the table, I'm on the network if there's any call from Trump or anyone to use nuclear weapons or launch some sort of military action. An extraordinary moment, only happened once before in 1974 with Nixon, when Nixon's instability caused the Secretary of Defense at the time to put the same sort of restrictions and make sure that nothing would happen that would take the United States into a war or the brink of war. And, of course, under the U.S. Constitution, the president is the commander-in-chief and can do what he wants with the military. There's no vote. No one else has a say.
The terrifying thought, but nevertheless, it's worked so far in the American experiment, if you like. But one of the things about your book is that you and Robert Costa have put together a book that dwells a lot on the pre-election and ultimate election of Joe Biden. And the word soul keeps coming up page after page, conversation after conversation, and it kind of stems from what happened in Charlottesville and the Trump reaction to that. How critical is that word to Biden's campaign victory and ultimately presidency?
Well, it was the stimulating thought that Trump doesn't represent soul, and that you really need an American president who will adhere to the procedures and respect the process. And, of course, Trump only respects himself. Is Robert Costa?
I'm glad to say Robert has just joined us. Robert Costa, welcome to the program. Nice to talk to you.
Good to be with you.
Well, Robert, maybe I could ask you, Robert Costa, about that expression. Donald Trump was not an American president. What does that mean?
What you see in Biden's winding path to the presidency in 2020 is a different Joe Biden. You brought up the question of soul. And in 1988 and 2008, Joe Biden has failed bids for the presidency. And both of those bids, based on our reporting, were very much driven, sure, by policy issues and an agenda, but also driven by ambition. But by 2018, after watching what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, a year prior, Biden's back on the campaign trail, and instead of going into political winter, he really, to Bob Woodward's point, sees Trump as an existential threat to American democracy, an un-American figure. And so instead of being driven by ambition for the third time around, our reporting shows he is actually driven more by a mission that Trump has to be stopped. And that really is where the soul theme also intertwines. You see Biden seeing the soul of America, democracy, under threat.
Yeah, I got the sense from your book, and not to be glib about it, but there was a moment over and over again with his advisors that there was a sense of let Bartlett be Bartlett. You know what I mean by that West Wing reference to Joe Biden going, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. They said, no, just be yourself.
That's exactly right. I mean, it was sort of a West Wing moment, and if you remember President Bartlett, to just veer there for a split second, Bartlett was also a Catholic like Biden, couched his politics and Democratic politics in kind of a Catholic spirituality. And you see that with Biden, too. John Meacham, the American historian, mm-hmm. has written a book about the soul of America that uses a lot of Biden's same themes about the better angels in American history and American values. And all of that experience from Biden's Senate days, his faith, his upbringing in Scranton, Pennsylvania, that all infused the soul campaign theme that ultimately was successful in beating Donald Trump.
I remember when John Kerry was running for office, and I think it was Karl Rove said that by the time we've finished with John Kerry, the American people won't know on which side of the American war he fought. And that came to mind when I was reading your book and the comments Donald Trump made about what they would do to Joe Biden and his name and his family's name when they got their hands on him. It was very menacing.
Very menacing is exactly right. But Biden beat him last year. And if you look at it, it was by 7 million votes, mm-hmm. which is substantial. But if you look at the individual states, which is the way they count who's going to win, if 45,000 votes in Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia had shifted, Donald Trump would have been reelected president last year. So it was very, very close. What, of course, in the news to these days is Biden is president. He's having a real hard time. Soul goes only so far, and the mechanics of running, actually trying to manage the government, even though the Democrats control Congress and control the White House, there are lots and lots of troubles.
Well, there are. I mean, when President Biden got elected, there was a sense globally among so many people was that he was a balm, he was a salve, he was going to put manners on an office that had lost control and so on. And yet, like you say, you can't run a campaign on bamming and salving and and soul. The realpolitik gets in the way of those things. So how do you assess his performance to date? Maybe I'll put that to you, Robert Costa, in the sense that we all watched the American withdrawal from Afghanistan and wondered, was that a great success for him domestically and maybe not so much internationally? Or was it a boon to Donald Trump's nascent re-election campaign?
Our book shows that in November of 2020, Donald Trump actually signed a rogue memo that went outside of the usual channels on Afghanistan to have a rapid withdrawal of U.S. troops. And so you see a complicated story on Afghanistan. Our book shows President Trump almost rushing, pushing to get out, not consulting with generals such as Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, or even his Secretary of Defense. So there's a Trump component in the book that adds context to the bigger Afghanistan narrative. And then the Biden story is so much driven by his own experiences in the Senate and in the White House under President Obama as his vice president. And now you have all this barreling toward 2022. Afghanistan is certainly going to be part of the campaign discussion next year. But it's hard to predict too much about how a foreign policy issue really lingers politically long term.
Bob Woodward, you described President Trump at the beginning of our interview as you used different words. I don't know if you were attributing them or you were actually reflecting your own thoughts, but you were suggesting he was a man of mental decline. Yeah, throughout the book, you talk about him raging. You said he was not stable. And yet, pretty much half the American people think he's their man for the job. And yet, heading into the next election cycle, he looks like the only show in town for the Republicans. Do you tear your hair out wondering how did this happen, or are you simply unsurprised by the path in history?
As Robert Costa has told me, and this is true, he has a sign over his computer, assume nothing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work very well for reporters to pull at their hair.
Mm.
The only solution is more reporting. We were able to find these memos, which are not partisan documents. These are two of the senators, Mike Lee of Utah, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, bedrock Trump supporters, investigate this claim of some sort of stolen election, and they find zero evidence, zero. This is not the Democratic opposition to Trump. These are his supporters. Now, we're going to see what happens, and I've always liked Robert Costa's theme of assume nothing. We don't know where this is going to go, but only remedy for people in our business is to report, talk to people, get notes of meetings, get transcripts like we did of the Pelosi-General Milley call, and look for the documentation. And, you know, we will see. There's assume nothing about the future in American politics, as you know.
And Robert Costa, if I may put a final question to you about that, the future. I appreciate the assume nothing mantra. In fact, I love it and may well adopt it in my own field. But let me ask you about that second Trump term. People are fascinated by the thought of it, and I believe only this week he's planning further rallies, etc. Do you think we'll be back again with your the follow-up book?
I know reading Peril can be quite an experience for some people. They've sent me notes. Just reading the January 6th chapters gives them a shiver down their spine. But I would urge people to read the whole book, because when you see at the end is the whole Republican Party, from Senator Lindsey Graham to former aides like Brad Parscale and pollster John McLaughlin, urging Trump to get back in the arena. They want to rehabilitate them. In fact, Brad Parscale, his former campaign manager, says if Trump runs again, he wants an army back, an army for Trump. He had it once. He wants it back. And if he runs again, it will be for vengeance. And this is someone who's now comfortable with power. When Bob Woodward and I first interviewed Trump in March of 2016, he was an outsider. He had never been in elected office. If he comes back, our book shows, and really read it to the end, that this is someone who's now comfortable with the levers of power and how to use it to sustain his own political standing and his presidency, should he get it again.
Peril indeed. Appropriate title for a wonderful book, and for those of you who are as interested in American politics as I am, and that's by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. Bob, Robert, thank you for your time. Congratulations on a marvellous piece of history on the hoof. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Okay, and that book, like I say, Peril, by our guests this morning, Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, is a joy, to be honest with you. I think you'll get great enjoyment out of that, and lessons from history and words of warning. Absolutely terrific. The text number is always 51551.